It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Coming up in this edition, I sit down with an Arkansas State Golf Hall of Famer, Bev Hargraves. Bev grew up in Helena, Arkansas, and at the very young age started playing the game after he began as a caddy. So he was a caddy before he became a golfer, but he is a very talented golfer, and he's earned his way all the way to the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame. Now, Bev is a fierce competitor on the golf course, and I think that shows up in match play mostly with him, but don't get me wrong. He's going to try and beat you down in stroke play as well. One of the greats in the state of Arkansas, Bev Hargraves, coming up on From the Short Grass. I want to tell you about Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of their hotels that they manage, and book it. You will be glad you did. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, a great sponsor of From the Short Grass. We're back after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. When I decided to really play competitive golf, one of the names and one of the guys that I always saw competing in Arkansas State Golf Association tournaments was Bev Hargraves. He's a great competitor on the course, and he'll be a good partner in a four ball if you ever needed one. On the tee, Bev Hargraves.
Bev, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. I have to ask, do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
I do. It was, I actually started caddying when I was 9 years old.
Okay.
At Helena Country Club. And I caddied for 2 years. And when I turned 11, my grandfather had just quit playing golf. And he had just bought a new set of Sam Snead Blue Ridge irons and woods. And he said, hey, you've been around golf here for a couple of years. You're caddying for the better players at the club. You want to learn to play? I said, sure. So he gave me that set of clubs, and I played with those for several years, actually.
Yeah. What was it like caddying at a young age in Helena?
It was fun. My first job was at 8, picking cotton on my other grandfather's farm. And, it was really, I think, one of the original 6 clubs that formed the Arkansas State Golf Association. So it was a really nice club at that point before the clubhouse burned. And so there were a lot of golfers. There was a lot of things going on in Helena industry-wise, and it was kind of booming at that time. And I just enjoyed caddying. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked watching the better golfers play. And, you know, I'd go down and get the guys' balls out of the ditch and all that. So anyway, I kind of moved up to the better players wanting me to caddy for them.
I bet playing golf and caddying was better than picking cotton.
Much so. The first time I picked cotton, my fingers were just bleeding that night. And, you know, dragging the sack. But it was a job. And, you know, my parents and my grandparents taught me how to, you know, the ethics of working hard when you were young.
Yeah. When did you first realize that, hey, I want to try and play golf and play it on a competitive level, if you will? High school, maybe?
Probably so in high school, but funny story, the first time I picked up the clubs, at that time, Helena Country Club was 9 holes. Okay. They added the second 9 in 1968. So I shot 116 for 2 9-hole scores. I said, that's not very good. And so I said, okay, I'm going to, because I was always competitive in sports. So I said, all right, next time out, you're going to break 100. Next time, 95. And I took it in 5-stroke increments. So the next time I went out, I shot 98.
That's a big jump.
That was a week later. And so consequently, probably by the time I was 15, I was shooting par.
Wow.
And so actually the first tournament I played in when I was just turned 16 was the club championship, which was match play. And of course, these guys were saying, hey, this kid can't play with us. You know, he's 16. He shouldn't be playing. But there was nothing to keep me from doing that. So I actually won it. And I beat all the better players. And so the board changed it to 18 after that.
So you had to wait another year.
I had to wait another year.
When you turned 18, you can go back and beat them again.
I did, yeah. So it was kind of funny that they just changed the rules because they didn't want a kid winning it.
What did you think when that happened?
Well, I was just I was proud that I had come that far in a fairly short period of time, mm-hmm. you know, to, I guess, in a 5-year period, basically, to go from zero to scratch.
Did you ever think that let's go to college play? And where did you go?
Well, I had played baseball every year.
Okay.
Of course, that and golf didn't go well, and American Legion ball. So in the 11th grade, I decided, okay, I've got a chance to play college golf, D1 golf, but not baseball. So I quit the American Legion baseball and just concentrated on golf. And then several schools recruited me. And actually the coach that was up at Arkansas at that time, Coach Mason, recruited me. I went up there, signed with him. And he left and went to Texas Tech, I believe. So I decided once I got to Fayetteville in August of 69, I just try to get my grades down the first year and forget about golf just because I knew I'd be doing some partying anyway.
Of course.
So I got the grades down, hollered the following year at the golf coach, who was Bob Suzerik. And he said, hey, we're getting ready to have tryouts for the Border Olympics and for any walk-ons. I said, well, I had a scholarship, but I'd like to try to get it back. So it went in, and I qualified first out of the guys that were walking on, so to speak, and made the trip to Border Olympics. And so after that sophomore year, I got my scholarship back and then just was top four, you know, after that for the junior and senior year.
Being up at Arkansas in 1969, I have to ask, did you make your way into the Arkansas-Texas game?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I was sitting there actually on the 34-yard line with a girlfriend at that time and some buddies, and we had our libation, you know. And
tried to stay warm.
I was trying to stay warm, but we were just so disgruntled with the way it turned out.
Yeah.
We just sat there for a while and just said, this can't be happening.
But unfortunately, it did.
It did, and, you know, it is what it was.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Back to golf at the University of Arkansas. What was that like for you, competing on the college level?
I really enjoyed it because I always worked during the summers, so I didn't have a chance to play tournaments like a lot of guys that were up there would, you know, trying to qualify for U.S. Amateur and state ASGA tournaments and all that. I just never played in those because I was working. So once I got up there and I saw the guys I was playing with and competing against for the travel team, there were some two or three guys from Texas that were on there. Bill Brown from Little Rock was on there. Wisconsin, another guy from Florida, Wayne Smith. And so once I saw that I could compete with them, then, you know, we went on to the tournaments. And of course, at that time, Texas had Tom Kite and Ben Crenshaw, another guy named Tony Pfaff, who was a good player. Bruce Liske was at Houston.
Yeah.
So being in Southwest Conference, we were trying to get first or second, but that was impossible because Texas and Houston were always first and second in the conference and the country. So we were always shooting for third and competing pretty much with SMU at that point.
Did you have any aspirations of trying to turn pro? Thoughts of being a professional golfer?
Never, actually. My grandfather, Hargraves, said, hey, you know, I'll sponsor you if you want to try to play the pro tour or get your card or whatever the procedure was back then. And I said, I'm not interested. I just don't want to travel all the time, and I'd rather work and get a guaranteed income. So never thought about it. I just decided at that point to be an amateur for life.
Do you think you were probably good enough, though, to do it if you would have put your mind to it?
I don't really know. I never really thought about that. Since then, you know, some of the guys that were my age back then that I've competed against that have gone from pro ranks back to the amateur ranks, you know, I've been able to beat them in some national senior tournaments. So it makes me wonder, well, if I had 8 hours a day to polish my game, maybe I could have.
But yeah,
that was just an afterthought.
So when you decided that, okay, I'm not going to play professional golf, I need to make sure I've got a solid income, you've got that solid income going. How much did you get to play then? Did you just play leisure golf, or did you still have that competitive edge to where you wanted to play in some of these ASGA events that would go on throughout the summers?
Well, after I finished college, I went to Hartford, Connecticut in insurance, and then I was transferred to the Dallas regional office for the Hartford Insurance Group. And in Dallas at that time, you couldn't find individual tournaments. So I just played at Brookhaven and Royal Oaks and kind of practiced and just didn't play any tournaments down there. There really wasn't anything. So in 78, I moved back to Helena and got my feet on the ground with the insurance agency with my father and grandfather. So in 1980, I decided, okay, I'm going to start playing ASGA stuff. And then, so I started competing in that and, you know, finished well enough to make the Cup team, Mid-South Cup team, and, you know, basically did that from there out.
The Cup teams, what were those like? The Mid-South Cup matches. I mean, I understand what it is now with the Arkansas versus Mississippi, the amateurs there, but those Mid-South Cup matches, it didn't just include Arkansas, Mississippi. There were other states as well.
No, you had Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And most of your better golfers, amateur golfers at that time, were in those states. So, I mean, it was very competitive and top-notch competition.
What was your record like?
In the Cup matches?
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it, but probably over all these decades, probably have won. Well, you know, of course, you've got the individual matches sure. and the alternate shot and the four ball, but overall, probably won 65 or 70%, I'd say.
That's a pretty good record.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, I've had good partners.
I think some of your partners would say they had a good partner, too, when you look at it. But is there any cup match that stands out from your time as an amateur or even as playing as a senior?
Well, probably the one that stands out was south of Houston in Columbia Lakes. We had the Lee boys and Ronnie Hutchison and Jay Fox and Tracy Hare. I can't remember everybody else mm-hmm. that was on the team. But in one round, I think it was – yeah, it was an alternate shot. I was paired with Hutch. And at that time, for some reason, I was hitting the ball long. I've never been a long hitter. My irons have usually been fairly long. And finally on, I guess, maybe the sixth or seventh hole, he kept asking me. I'd be 150. He said, what are you hitting? I said, pitching wedge. Or I said, pitching iron. And so I'd hit up there, and it'd be close, and he'd make the putt. And so he kept saying, okay, you're 155. What are you hitting? I said, pitching iron again. So anyway, I was just hitting them long at that time, and I can't remember if he or Jay Fox gave me the nickname Boomer.
I would say if you're hitting a pitching iron 155 yards, the Boomer name sticks. Well, because that's a long ways to hit that club.
I tended to hood it down just a little bit, but still I got the, you know.
So hood it down to like an 8 maybe?
Well, I don't know. Probably a 9.
A 9, yeah. When did you start playing national tournaments competitively?
Probably in 85.
In 85, you decided I'm going to try and play in the mid-am.
National stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and that was in South Carolina?
Yeah.
At Long How did Cove that go? Cove.
Let me think here. I made the cut, lost first match. Yeah.
Did you like match play?
Oh, I always love match play. And, you know, you never know. You can play a guy that you think you're going to really beat up on, and you end up losing.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, play somebody that you don't think you got a chance to beat, and you'll beat him, which brings to mind the second most memorable was not the Mid-South Cup matches, but was maybe last year or the year before against the Governor's Cup against Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Greenville. Were you there?
I was not at that one.
Well, you know, I've been playing still the seniors. I don't compete mm-hmm. in the state in the legends part. So they ended up pairing me in the individual match against the number one senior in Mississippi, which used to be the golf coach of Mississippi State.
Clay Holman.
Clay, that's
oh
right.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, they didn't give me much of a chance. And after 9 holes, I was either 3 down. So I said, okay, now's the time you got to start doing something. So I won 10, 12, got to 1 down, went to the par 5, which would have been 16, and hit a hybrid like, I don't know, 8 feet or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, all I had to do was 2-putt because he'd already made par. So I got us back even, and then went to 18, which is a par 5 dogleg left, which is kind of a weird hole. But I hit as good a drive as I can hit and barely got to the corner to where I could see the green, but I didn't have a clear shot. And so I'd have to hit a draw in there. And there's a mound on the right side of the green. So I said, well, if I just hit it just a hair inside that mound, it's probably going to kick over towards the pin.
Sure.
I hit the shot and probably had it 8 feet for eagle again. And the wind was behind us a little bit, so I had hit a 7-iron, I guess, from 172, I think, and hit it solid. And so he was, of course, way past me. He had probably a 9-iron in, but I don't think he calculated the wind. He blew it over the green. And so he chipped it up. He was still outside me, missed the putt. So
you beat him one up.
Yeah, I beat him one up. So
that's
that
a pretty
was
good win.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good
win. And what
win.
Was funny is a lot of all these Mississippi guys I've known for years because I used to play in a lot of four balls over there. There were four or five of them that came up and congratulated me and said, "We're so glad you beat Clay." I said, "What? Why?" He said, "It proves we can beat him now." I said, "All right, that makes sense."
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good player. He's going into the Mississippi Golf Hall of Fame.
Yep.
In February. You're a member of the Arkansas Golf Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. It's just a crown on top of everything I've done through the years of trying to contribute back to golf, both as a player and on the state board for decades. But it's just, I guess, acknowledges what I've done as a player and contributor to the game.
You've played overseas as well.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of amateur events. Where do you like to go?
Ireland. Yeah, I've played in a couple of British seniors that were in Ireland. First one at Royal Portrush, which is probably my favorite golf course next to Pine Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Those are one and two. And then played Royal County Down. Bobby Baker and I played there. And we got a bad draw with the – we had a pouring rain at 8:30 in the morning, 30-mile-an-hour winds, and we had no chance.
Yeah.
You know, the afternoon group didn't have that weather, so
– it's probably sunny by the afternoon.
It was.
Oh,
and we
geez.
Had no chance to make the cut after two rounds because of that, because all the scores were – I think the low score that morning was 78.
Isn't that just the luck of the draw, though, when you look at it? I mean, look at Tiger Woods. I think he would have won another Open Championship if he wouldn't have had the bad side of the weather.
Right.
And I want to say right after 2005, it might have been the 6 or 7 Open Championship, but that's just part of playing golf in Scotland and Ireland and that part of the country, isn't it?
But another year, the only time I went, I played in the Irish senior amateur. It's they call it the Irish Open, and it was in Belfast, and it was a more of a traditional U.S. type course with trees and all that, and that was really fun. I tied for first, and they had a 3-hole playoff, so I took a chance on the first hole, which was a dogleg, trying to knock it over the trees.
Didn't work
out. From
there,
I'd have a pitching wedge or a gap in, and hit the very last limb, and anyway, I bogeyed it and then went par-par, and he went par-par-par. So, anyway, lost that deal.
It happens.
Oh, yeah.
You told me your two favorite golf courses, I guess, you know, Portrush and Pine Valley.
Yep.
Any others that you've played that stick out?
Oh, gosh. Wade Hampton.
Where is it?
That's in Cashiers, North Carolina. Senior amateur was there 1 year. Marion was a lot of fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
Long Cove Club. I mean, there's a lot. I really can't narrow it down.
When you look back at your time playing golf as an amateur, do you ever think back? Because, like you've said, some of the guys you've played against as you've gotten older as an amateur, what they did on the PGA Tour, do you ever think back, man, what if I would have just given it a shot?
No, I really don't.
You don't?
Mm-mm. You know, I've thought a couple of times, like Steve Melnick I've played against, and I can't remember a couple other guys that were on tour. And just when I played with them or against them in a senior tournament, it's come to mind for about 30 seconds, but that's about it.
Fantasy foursome, you and three others, living or deceased, that you would like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Well, one's always got to be my best buddy, four ball buddy, and that's Bubba Clue. Arnold Palmer would be one. And probably Ben Hogan.
Wow, that's a pretty good group. I think Bubba would like playing with those guys too.
I think he would, definitely.
You'd play a four ball, you and Bubba against them too?
Well, Maude and Claude, that's what they call us at PV. So, you know, we'll give it a try.
Are you excited that the Simmons Bank Championship is coming to Pleasant Valley Country Club in October?
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. You know, with what Simmons has done for golf across the country with their sponsorship of different players, what they've done with their sponsorship for the Arkansas State Golf Association, and then jumping in and being able to get that tournament at Pleasant Valley is going to be awesome. I've had a number of people around the state say, how do I get tickets? I said, hey, just call Pleasant Valley and you can get them. How do I volunteer? Call.
Yeah. That information is going to come out, I believe, middle to late February.
Yeah.
They're going to need something like 700, 750 volunteers. There's going to be room for anyone that wants to.
It'll be nice. And I keep my fingers crossed that, you know, basically our three Arkansas players are able to make that cut and get there with Glenn Day and Ken Duke and John Daly.
It would be nice to see those three. Any others that you're looking forward to seeing out there?
Probably Bernhard Langer, because the guy's, 62, 63, and he's still so competitive. I don't watch much golf on TV, so I'd like to watch it in person.
You'd rather go play.
Oh, yeah, definitely, any day.
Bev, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the invite, Trey, and glad I could add something to this conversation.
You did. You did great. Thanks, Bev.
Thank you.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. If this is your first time hearing From the Shortgrass over terrestrial radio on 103.7 The Buzz, I invite you to go into your iPhone, your Android phone, whatever it may be, and either go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, download From the Shortgrass. You will get the podcast delivered right to your phone every time that it comes out, usually on Wednesdays of every week, but it is a weekly golf podcast dedicated to the game of golf, and hopefully some very interesting guests are going to be coming up later on in upcoming episodes. We've had some in the past, Albert Pujols, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Nolan Richardson, Porter Mosier, Joe Klein, Gus Malzahn, Houston Nutt, just to name a few. Not to mention Tony Romo, Fred Perpall, the president of the United States Golf Association, Warren Stevens, and the list goes on and on and on. I hope you really enjoy this golf podcast. And I hope with the weather turning a little bit warmer, you're able to get out and maybe hit the range a little bit, shake off some of that winter rust in your swing, because it'll be springtime before you know it, and we'll be itching to get out to the course. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.